There are times when we find ourselves in situations that aren't always comfortable, and we find ourselves trying to figure out, you know, how do I respond to that? How as a Christian do I react? How do I represent Jesus in this situation? Reruns of Carol Burnett Show. You guys remember those? Carol Burnett, Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence. I actually watched a special once. It wasn't too long ago either, where they talked about how they put that show together. And you know, there was there's a lot of improv, right? Yeah, a lot of improvisation, and in the midst of that, they would constantly go off script in an effort to try to catch the others off guard, to see what they would do. And one of the things that they were showing, my favorite of this, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Tim Conway, they said, was always the one who just would, he would come up with some of the craziest stuff, and all the others would just do, they would have all they could do to just control their laughter. But my favorite, probably one of his, was the one where he all of a sudden came up with the Siamese elephants. You know, they were attached at the trunk, and you know, he was doing the and they were, anyway. Did anybody seen that one before? Remember? Yeah. Dick Van Dyke was also in that. Yeah, but anyway, it just some of that. But he would just come up with some stuff and be able to have a straight face, and they're all trying to control their laughter and they can't. And of course, that's the funny thing about it, is because you got somebody who's trying to keep their composure and they can't, and it's just funny. Improv. It's what happens, I guess, in the moment. And I just want you to know something. That's Act 4. That's Act 4 that we're talking about. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born of the law, and in that He gave us this commission to go out and to live improv. Let me explain what I mean by that. No script, just boundaries. Just live it out. Be with people, interact, respond, do it within some sort of a framework. But see, the essence, that is the essence of the Christian life. The essence of Act 4 is this great Christian drama. It's this act that we actually get, you and I, we just get to write this. And the reason is because we are the story. You and I, Act 4, are the story. We are the church. You and I are what God brought into existence. And there really is no nice little checklist for you. You know, I was just brought up in kind of this narrow mindset sort of thing, you know, this whole checklist kind of thing. I don't know how to say it other than that. But I've realized, I guess, that there's nothing really for us to just kind of look at and say, okay, this is it. You know, I know people who are like that. Well, her name was Evelyn. Evelyn came to church regularly, and I've had conversations with her. She'd say, well, can you just tell me what's okay and what's not? Tell me what I can do. I'll put that on my refrigerator, and I'll check it off as I go through life, and I'll know what's right, I'll know what's wrong, and I'll be okay. And I've just come to realize it's just not that simple. Now, she was really good at improv. Phone would ring. She didn't want to answer it. She'd say to her one of the children, just wait a second. She'd go out on the porch. She'd say, okay, now tell them I'm not in the, I left the place, or I left the house. That's improv, by the way. It may not be good, but it is what it is. It's how you respond in certain situations, right? And that's really all the help that you're going to get. Because you don't have this nice checklist. You don't have this script. What you have is the presence of Jesus in your life, reacting and responding and interacting. I want to take you to a second text. I want you to go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, because in Titus chapter 2 is Act 4. And what I want to suggest to you is that when we look at Titus chapter 2, what I want you to think about is, it's an experience that I had when I was in high school. I worked for a guy by the name of Jerry Miner. Jerry, I worked for him. He owned the local Piggly Wiggly store, and Jerry would often hire me outside of my work at the store. He would hire me to do some odd jobs, painting, cutting brush, raking lawns, things like that. One day he invited me to go to his cabin located just off the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, about 50 miles away from my hometown, Grand Rapids, where I lived. And I really had no idea what I was up to. I was kind of led, I think, to believe that I would be doing some cutting of brush around his cabin and so on. But as it turns out, one of the things that he wanted me to do is he needed a drain field dug in order to properly dispose of the black water that was coming from his cabin. And so he showed me where everything was, you know, all the rock and all the piping, and he showed me all the material that I needed to use. He showed me where everything was, all the shovels and all that kind of stuff. And it was just kind of weird. He just left. he was gone all afternoon, and for some reason, I knew what to do, because it had just so happened that a couple of summers before I had done that sort of thing, working out at my dad's property. I don't know how he figured that I could do all that or not, but the interesting thing is that I worked on that all day and dug and dug and dug. I mean, he had some, I don't remember all the details of that all that day. I just remember working all day, and it may have been a couple of times that we had been up there, but all of a sudden towards evening, Jerry just shows up again, and you know what we do? We head home. Titus chapter 2, there was a time, he says, when the grace of God appeared in verse 11, and it brought salvation to us. And then verse 12 says that it taught us to say no to ungodliness and worldliness and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives during this present age. And then he says that we're going to do that while we wait, verse 13, for the blessed hope, which is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2, you have Act 4, the first coming of Jesus, where he lays out in front of us the calling, this calling to go out into the world and to live a life that demonstrates that, to demonstrate what it means to be a Christian under any circumstance. Know what to say no to, know what to say yes to, but only with kind of broad sweeping categories, just broad boundaries. And what Titus tells us is that there's things that to which we say yes, and there's things to which we say no, but there's no list, because it's not always the same in every circumstance. And you know what? I look at that, and I know that makes that hard. Improv. I imagine that it's the most difficult form of acting that there is, because you have to choose what to accept or what to reject. You have to decide how to respond, and will you accept the direction are you free to trust your fellow actors? And you know, as Christians, we don't get the privilege of just blocking everything that comes our way. See, in improv, if you don't want to follow the track, if you don't want to go where this thing is going, you know what you do? You just block it. You just don't respond to it. You say no to it. You give some follow-up line, and that indicates that you don't want to go down that road. And at that point, everything's over. You can't go any further than that. And I think that the church, down through the ages, has been notorious for that, for blocking what the world brings its way. Now, I can't go there because that's the wrong place, or we can't do that because that's the wrong thing to do, and I can't be your friend because you don't think the way I think, and you don't act the way that I act, and you know, it just doesn't fit within my drama. And I think, unfortunately, that's exactly the world in which Jesus came. Was a world that was full of God-fearing people. They called them Pharisees. And they set themselves up in such a way that they would never accept the lead from anyone that wasn't just like them. As far as they were concerned, if you didn't do things that their way, if you didn't act their way, if you didn't believe their way, then you were out. And I guess what I'm saying is that we cannot afford to make those kinds of choices, to withhold friendships with people, to not invite people in, to not have a connection. We cannot block the world out. See, because in improv, you accept. In improv, you allow the situation to develop and you follow the lead and you pick, you just pick up the 2x4, you grab the hammer, you do the thing that you're supposed to do, right? But there are things, if you notice our text again, if there are things that we say no to, that's really what the text says. You see it in verse number 12, say no to certain kinds of things. And so the church and Christian people can't just accept every lead that the world gives them, right? But we don't choose to just block it, because that shuts off all future conversation. That kills the scene. And so what do? Well, we don't just close the door. We just channel it in a way that we can now direct it in a way that we think is going to be a healthy way for us to interact. So here's what I'm saying. Let me give you an illustration. I have a friend named Thad. Thad's wife called me one night. This is probably, I would guess about 15, maybe 20 years ago. Thad and his wife were new to our church, and she didn't know where Thad was. Thad, he had been on his annual drinking binge and was most likely out bar hopping somewhere. And could I help? Well, what do I need to do? So she gave me a list of the bars that I might find him in. I was a young preacher. I mean, I had a decision to make, because up to that point, I had always blocked those kinds of places. Partly because I, too, at one time had had a similar problem as that had had. And part of it because I'm thinking, what are people going to be talking about if they saw the preacher hopping in all these bars? Coincidentally, there was a fellow in our church, Fred was his name, one of the deacons, great servant, godly man. When I think of deacon, when I think of that, what that's really all about, I can think of no greater image than Fred. I think that you would agree with that. Just that's what he was, in terms of how he carried out that role within the church. Just a man who was just a servant with a servant's heart. And just about a week earlier, he told me his story. How at one point in his life that he had been an alcoholic, and how one of the local preachers, actually one of my predecessors, had come into the local bar and pulled him off of the bar stool and helped him to get help and stayed with him and stuck with him, but literally went into the bar and pulled him out, and it changed his life forever. Eventually, him coming to Christ. And through that conversation, I learned that there was a way to take things in a new direction. That's the call of the text, by the way, really. I mean, to know that the things that, you have to say no to. There isn't any question that's true. But it's also the text that says there are certain situations in which we find ourselves in that we respond in a way that redirects what's going on in the past, and it changes it for the sake of the gospel. There are those turning points in the history of the church where the church has improvised. I mean, I think that we can think of some of those. In its improvisation, it has changed the course of history. For people, I think one of those times in our lifetime was Promise Keepers, when a bunch of men from Colorado started meeting together and saying, you know what, we're going to stand up and we're going to be men and we're going to live this faith out, but we're not going to reject the world around us. We're going to engage the world around us. And maybe one of the most profound moments in any one of those Promise Keeper rallies was the day that some of the white preachers got up and they made this public apology on behalf of the church for the way that it has treated the black community. And things began to change. I'll bring it up later on. Several years ago, I can talk with you about that a little later, okay? Several years ago, I attended a Christian convention. I'll never forget this. During one of the worship services, they showed a video of a group of who had decided to make a difference for Christ, and except they went to the place to a place that probably most of us would be appalled at. They called themselves XXXChurch.com. They had a website, and they attended, well, you know, a XXX convention. And right in the middle of that, they rented a booth, and they began to share the love of Jesus with people. Amazing. As we stood and watched that, just thinking that someone cared so much, not to go in and start picketing or pointing fingers or yelling and screaming at them, but to go in the midst of their territory and sit down and just share the love of Jesus with people. I've never forgotten that. It is the first time that I have ever seen that Christian people have stood up and improvised in an arena that we have always blocked, that we've refused to talk about. And we can come up with a lot of other just areas and arenas that we could talk about. But see, I think it's a lot easier if God just gives us a checklist, don't you? That we can just put it up on the refrigerator and we can say, you know, okay, do this, don't do that. Everything is cut. Everything is clear. Everything is fine. I think it's a lot easier if God does that. But the trouble is that life isn't like that. And it's becoming more so that it's not. There are times when we find ourselves in situations that aren't always comfortable, and we find ourselves trying to figure out, you know, how do I respond to that? How as a Christian do I react? How do I represent Jesus in this situation? And unfortunately, there's just no script for that. There's only the leading of God's Spirit and the Word of His Son Jesus, who says, yes, there are some things that you say no to. And here are some things that you say yes to. And so, well, here's what I think we need. We just need to make sure that we keep our doors open so that the scene can continue to its rightful conclusion. Because Act 5 is verse 13. Act 5 is verse 13. We wait for the glorious coming of Jesus. We wait until Jesus returns when sadly everybody loses the opportunity to say yes from that point on. Act 5. We wait for the glorious coming of Jesus. But when He comes, those who have not accepted Him don't have an opportunity anymore. And so that's why Act 4, I think, is so important for us as a church. Let's pray together. Father, we live in an age when it's our opportunity for us to speak out into the world a word about Jesus that matters. God, and I just know that every one of us, if we are honest with ourselves, I think that we have people in our lives that we desperately want to know Jesus Christ. Father, help us to see that that is really our job, that that is our calling, that we need to engage them in life, that we need to improvise in whatever we have to say yes to the message of Jesus becoming real to them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.